Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo.
Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, we're going to be talking about self-confidence, transformation in your life, mindset, and many, many more things. Today's guest is David, where we're going to be talking about those things. So I'm just going to give an introduction to David. So David is a life and business strategist, personal coach, speaker, and author empowering entrepreneurs and leaders to get out of their own way, fix what's out of alignment, and never stop becoming the leader they said they would be. After nearly taking his own life and experiencing a divine wake-up call, David left his corporate career to reinvent himself, rebuild his family, and redefine what was possible in his personal and professional life. He now empowers leaders through his philosophy of fierce empathy, which enables us to look in the mirror, face the facts, and confront the challenges that hold us back from success, fulfillment, and aligned abundance. Awesome. So, David, welcome to the show. And it'd be really interested to hear what life was perhaps like for you before you had that transformation, and perhaps maybe one or two points that you would find useful to share with the listeners so they can understand a little bit more about you.
Yeah, Johnny, brother, it's an honor to be here. I'm excited for this conversation. So my context, a little bit of the background, before I came into this transition where I really started to redefine everything and to just look in the mirror and assess the results in my life, I had from the outside in all of the trappings of quote unquote success. I know it's different around the world, but here in the United States, we have that the adage, the American dream, right? And growing up, you're conditioned to believe that this American dream is predicated on you go to school, you get good grades, you graduate, you go to university or college, you get good grades, you focus on graduating with a solid degree, you get a good job, and you work your way up. And ultimately, the goal is you want to make $100,000 a year, you want to have a house, you want to have a car, you want to get married, have 2.5 kids, and you'll be happy and fulfilled, right? Mm-hmm. So by the time I was in my mid-20s, Johnny, I had quote unquote arrived there. I've been in sales my entire career in some capacity or another, and I'd worked my way up in this $400 million a year company to top 1% position in sales. And for me, what was really challenging about it is that I never felt like a sales guy. I hated salespeople, to be honest. I had very much the same conditioning that many people have of the used car salesman, or when you go to the department store and your mom's walking you through the perfume section and she's like, tuck and roll, don't pay attention to any of the attendants because they're all wanting to come out and spray the perfume or get you to try stuff. And so for me, it was really interesting because from the outside looking in, I was winning, but internally, it was nothing but complete. The American dream, what I call it, had become a nightmare for me. I was about 60 pounds heavier than I am right now. I was dealing with suicidal ideation, anxiety attacks, panic attacks. I wasn't being the husband that I wanted to be. I wasn't being the father that I wanted to be. My business that I was working in at the time, or the career I had at the time before I became an entrepreneur, I was working 60, 70, 80 hours a week. And I had a moment where I came to terms with the fact that I was going to potentially end my life. And it was in that moment, in a series of friends, mentors, some coaches, some just supporters, where I woke up to reality. And I realized that everything in my life was simply a result of habits, choices, behaviors, beliefs, lack of confidence, lack of healthy mindset. And so that shifted everything for me, Johnny.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you for, being open and obviously sharing your personal story. I've had many conversations, and I can relate to this in my story as well, when sometimes you've got that perceived confidence in maybe the workplace or situation, but inside, like, my self-esteem was like really low, like just didn't like myself. And I've definitely spoke to quite a few guests on the show who've had similar stories. So, Just remember, if you're listening to this, it's not always what it seems for an individual. The way you perceive them, it may be completely different. So do appreciate that, David. So in terms of what I'm really curious about, actually, is you made a transformation from that realization. Was it a case of doing these like little habits, or did you just go like all in and make massive changes straight away?
Johnny, I think you know the answer to that. It's something that is incredibly challenging. And the reason that most people don't do it is because it does start with simplicity and it is very small. It is very step-by-step. The hardest part is you have to make a decision. And where people really, really make mistakes, in my opinion. Now, I wouldn't say this is universally applicable. I've seen people do the whole cold turkey, turn 180 and go the opposite direction. But as we know with the data, the statistics, the research on habit transformation, creating new neural pathways in the brain, actually rewiring your mind, reprogramming yourself, that's not something that can happen in a moment. It's physiologically impossible. The body doesn't respond that way. The body has to go through a series of events. And oftentimes what I like to use to describe it is you can have an involuntary wake-up call or a voluntary wake-up call. The involuntary wake-up calls, those are the sudden ones. That's when you get the phone call from the doctor saying that you've got 6 months left to live. That's when you find out that you lost someone that you love. That's when you get the notice on the door that you're being evicted or you're going to have to file bankruptcy. Those things cause rapid change very quickly. However, those are rare, and I don't like that people go through them. I've been through them. I know countless people that have been through them, but the cool thing is they've now shown you don't have to. If you go the opposite route, which is voluntary, meaning that you subject yourself voluntarily to consistently work on transformational change in the areas of your life that aren't aligned with who you said you would be, you can create the same results. It just takes time. Now, typically for the average person, the research indicates it takes between 3 weeks and 90 days, 21 to 90 days. But the only way that that works is if it is coupled with healthy self-care and rest. In working on transforming your confidence, your mindset, your habits, the areas of your life and your health, your relationships, your financial situation, if you don't rest and you don't take care of yourself, it can take up to a year and a half, 18 months of consistently executing on doing the thing you don't feel like doing before you actually rewire your brain and change your life.
Wow, that's really fascinating to me. I didn't notice that. I obviously knew for me personally, I knew the 21 to the 90 day thing with the habits, but I did not realize the research was showing that actually it takes that long if you're not looking after yourself. I mean, it could be longer, it just could be that endless cycle. So,
well, that's the recent research. That's what's cool. That's what I love about our study of neuroscience and the brain and why I love what you do around mindset and confidence is that the science is finally catching up with what the mystics have known for forever. Right. and it's really intriguing to me. And so it's what I find is that research oftentimes it doesn't override previous research. It buffers it or buttresses it and it helps bring further clarification. So for the last couple of decades, if you're a Tony Robbins fan, you're Jim Rohn, you're Napoleon Hill, all that kind of stuff. Over the last 100 years or so, we've seen rapid transformation in understanding how to rewire your brain. People like James Clear with Atomic Habits. You have those who, The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. There's a lot of research that has gone into this. And the new research though, again, it's not overriding it, but it's finding out this whole thing about self-care and rest, it's really freaking important because you can change your life, but if you want to change your life in the most rapid way possible, it's almost counterintuitive. You have to slow down to speed up.
It's a really good message. And I was kind of just thinking then, because I kind of want to just jump into like the world we live in. There's a lot of comparison, right? There's a lot of,
too much.
A lot might be a bit of an understatement. So yeah, there's a lot of comparison out there. You may see, like, for example, I like a lot. I'm a massive Tony Robbins fan. I'm a massive Grant Cardone. Not that the two necessarily say the same things, but I like those kind
they
of
both
people.
Both have their own lane. That's how I like to look at it. They both have their own lane.
Like it, yeah. And then you got your Josephs out there. But you kind of like, you might look at them and you think, they're like absolute machines. And then you start trying to, you try and start replicating, or you see your entrepreneurial friend who's just like a machine making like constant, maybe 5-6 figures a month or whatever. And then you're like, well, I've got to start that workload. And actually you haven't started a business before. And it's, So do you feel like there's quite a lot of, that's a big challenge at the moment?
Yeah, it's a very big challenge. And I think it's because of our interpretation and how we use the word comparison. And so unfortunately, most people see comparison as one of two things, right? And most people I've found that they think that comparison is an intrinsically bad thing. And in most cases, in the day and age that we live in, it is. And the reason why is because what people do is they look at someone else like a Johnny Pardo. And they're like, I just want to be like Johnny when I grow up, man. Like, I want to do that. I want to be in sales. I want to be pursuing my dreams. I want to have passion projects. I want to have conversations with incredible people. Or they look at a Joseph or a Tony or a Grant. And what ends up happening is that we create this gap between where we are and where they are. And that comparison, it brings in feelings of guilt and shame and condemnation and self-doubt and distrust. And we create an inferiority complex within ourselves because we think that Johnny Pardo is all the way up here. He's superior to me. And I'm down here and I'm working a 9-to-5 and I'm doing all this. So the comparison takes on a really unhealthy, it becomes unhealthy in the life of the individual. However, we know that comparison is actually, on the opposite side, extraordinarily powerful. I can look at a Johnny or a Joseph or a Tony or a Grant or whoever and say, you know what? If they can do it, I can do it too. They are an inspiration to me. And I want to find out how I can model their beliefs, their thoughts, their actions, their behaviors, the choices, decisions, what process they went through to create those results. I don't think I'm anything less than Johnny, but he's inspiring me. So I need to figure out what I need to do in order to transform my life. And the way that you figure out what you need to do to transform any area of your life is you first have to define who you want to become. And when you can get crystal clear on that by looking at the people you admire, looking at the individuals, and I'm not just talking about possessions, looking at people's marriages, looking at people's sex life, looking at their financial situation, looking at their health, looking at them as moms and dads, looking at them in different roles and saying, I can see all these different things, and you formulate a version of who you want to become. That comparison actually becomes an energetic force that says there's no longer a gap between here and there. I just have to become something different than what I am. So what do I need to do? How do I change it? And you do that by defining who you want to become. So in that instance, I think comparison, just like in competition, like any sport, it can be very powerful and useful. Unfortunately, I don't think most people are using it that way because most people are looking at everyone else, social media, news, and be like, oh, look at them up there. Yeah, it must be so nice. And it causes us to play scared, with scarcity mindset, lack, deficit, and it actually shuts off our ability to change our lives.
Yeah, really like that point you made. Joseph once said something which is really powerful in that context. He said, self to self for progress, self to others for possibility. I thought, really, I loved it. He says the best lines sometimes.
But you can see how that's only useful if an individual is looking at it through the frame of possibility. And most people aren't. Most people are looking at it through the frame of envy. And through this lens that says, you know, nobody needs that kind of business. Nobody needs that kind of car. Nobody needs to pursue that type of thing. Nobody needs that kind of relationship. Nobody needs that kind of body. Nobody needs that. And so it creates a lot of cognitive dissonance in the brain and emotional dysregulation inside of us. And that's where I see much of the world today is that they're not looking at other people for possibility, which you should do. And they're also not looking at themselves and saying, okay, in my life, what am I trying to control that's out of my control? And what am I failing to control that is actually in my control?
So trying to focus too much on the things we can't control in a very sort of world where you can't really control much at the end of the day.
The only things that we can control are ourselves and our choices, our behaviors, our reactions to life. When you start, there's an incredible book that is called Psycho-Cybernetics, and it's by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. If you read the book, you start to understand that the fastest way to transform your life is just look at yourself in the mirror. Look at how you naturally react when your spouse says something that triggers you. Look at how you naturally react when you're on social media and you see that politician or that influencer or that person and what it does inside of you emotionally. Look at your reactions when, you know, when you're waking up in the morning. Are you snoozing? What food you're putting in your body? How, like, just look at the areas of your life that you're dissatisfied. If you have emotional dysregulation in any area, in my opinion, that is your body sending you a yellow warning flag saying, hey, this isn't okay. And it's something that you can change. You don't have to change it, but if you want to change it, this will be out of your life and you can start to transform. And so when we look in the mirror and we assess our reactions to life, what we can do is we can start to change those and to formulate responses to life, because reactions are just default, right? They're just habits. They're just things that we do. They're second nature, but a response is intentional. A response says, I'm going to pause and think about this and assess it and weigh it and say, is this in alignment with who I said that I would be, who I dreamt that I would be, the person that I wanted to be when I was young? And if it's not, it's an invitation to realign yourself with who you said you would be.
I like the question of, was this who, you know, I intended to be before? Because there's so many points where you're just always looking ahead, right? And there's always like, I need to do this, I need to do that. And I think we could go around in a circle where it's, you know, it can relate it back to the gaps we create by looking at someone else as well. I love that question.
But as Tony says, you know, I know we both are big fans of Tony, and I'm actually a former speaker and head trainer for him. I got to be in that world. And when you're in that world and you're constantly surrounded by people that are doing extraordinary things and being able to serve and empower and love the human beings that are there to transform their life, you start to understand when he talks about the human condition is for progress, is that if you're not growing, you're dying. And it's very, very, very true. And so in this growth process and becoming who we said that we would be, what I find really interesting about this comparison thing and Johnny, how this connects to our confidence and our mindset, is that when you start to look at yourself and you start to look at other people, there's another great book called The Greatest Salesman in the World by Og Mandino. And he talks about this. He says, you can ask 10,000 people and every one of them will define success differently, but every single one of them will define failure the same. Failure is simply our inability to reach our goals, but every single human being on the planet defines success differently, which is why life's not a zero-sum game. Because what you want in your life, Johnny, is not what I want in my life. It is very different. It's specifically defined to you. And it's not a zero-sum game, because that means for Johnny to win does not mean David has to lose. And for David to win does not mean Johnny has to lose. But we can all collectively define who we want to become and the life that we want to create. And it's not going to detract from someone else. When our heart is focused on serving, loving, empowering, giving, helping, building, embracing, all of these components, which are virtues, and those things only become virtues when you focus on the areas of your life, like your habits, comparison, things that up until this point, maybe are vices. And those vices can be transformed into virtues, which is the powerful sanctification or redemption story of becoming something different than what we are, as being dead and born again.
And there's obviously a lot of self like awareness work you would have done with like Tony and understanding, you know, a lot about human behavior. Now, for a lot of us, we're like, well, I think every human being actually, you know, definitely is, everyone does this, but we're all like busy, right? We're all like rush.
And getting, I got three kiddos, man.
Yeah, you got three kids. We're all, but everyone's always busy, right? Yeah. You know, these days we all got different situations of like being busy, whatever it is. But yeah. Like in terms of like finding time for like your, you know, yourself and being with yourself, was that like something you had to do at the start of your journey? Really just like sit with yourself and ask yourself what you wanted?
It's a great question. So you're never going to find time. None of us can find time because it doesn't exist. Everyone has the same 24 hours. We know this. You have to create it, right? You have to prioritize it. And that's one of the challenges, is that I actually had a mentor of mine. We were sitting at this little Mediterranean restaurant here where I live, just outside Columbia, South Carolina. And this was about 5 years ago. And she sat me down and we were walking through this process. This was really where my transformation, like the rubber met the road. Mm-hmm. I had gone through betrayal in the corporate job, $40,000 pay cut. My wife and I had just gone through a miscarriage, and I ended up in a conference room with the big dogs on one side and me on the little side being cursed out, saying that the only reason I was still at that company was because I was too much of a financial asset to lose at that time. And so I go to lunch with her. We're sitting at this little Mediterranean restaurant. She starts asking me these questions. She had me do an exercise, John. And she said, David, I just want you to define your perfect day. And I had never done that before. And she said, it can't just be like go to Disney World, right? You think about your perfect day. She said, if you take your family and your work and the mission and vision inside of your heart, and you take your breakfast, your lunch, and your dinner when you wake up, a normal day, what would your ideal day look like? And Johnny, that process of giving myself permission to even think that that might be possible, it started to cause me to create that time, because I knew I couldn't find it. I was working 70, 80 hours a week. Some weeks I come home and I'm dad, my daughter had just been born at the time. I'm, you know, married, and you got life and church and family and all of the stuff. And so what I had to do in that process is that I had to make choices to replace things. I knew that there was an opportunity cost. So instead of driving to work in the morning, mindlessly jamming out to some music or just whatever, I'm like crushing every podcast I can find. I'm redeeming moments, like, you know, I don't mean to be indelicate. I go to the bathroom and I got 5 minutes in there. I'm putting on a podcast where I'm reading a book. I'm finding, quote unquote, finding time anywhere that I can to try and submit myself in a healthy way. That's another word that our culture misunderstands, like submission. I knew I had to submit myself to others that had gone before me to learn from them if I was ever going to be in a position to lead. And I knew that there was no way that I could lead in the way that I wanted to lead if I didn't know how to be led. And so I went through this process of learning these things and creating the time, defining my perfect day, giving myself permission to define what I wanted my life to look like. And Johnny, 2 years after I did that process, I had lost it in my journal. I'm sitting in my living room and I open it up and I'm scrolling through old pages like we do with journals. And I come across this page and I start weeping. I start bawling my eyes out because I'm sitting there at lunchtime. My kid's on the floor. You know, it was at the time, I think my second had been born. And I realized that everything that I had written down a couple years earlier, I had manifested. I was living it. And I broke because I realized that this powerful thing we have called our mind, and when we set the intention and we visualize and we practice actually feeling our way into who we want to become, all of our circumstances start to change. And so I woke up to that reality and I just started to see, oh my gosh, it's all possible. But very few people are taking the time to fight for what they truly want. They're stuck in what, you know, Outwitting the Devil or Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich talks about, just drifting. And I had just been drifting and drifting and drifting. And the day that I started to be intentional and say, whether it's 5 minutes a day or an hour a day, I don't care. This becomes a non-negotiable priority in my life because I have to work on myself, because the only way that I can change out there is by starting by changing what's in here.
Mm. Wow. That's a really powerful note, I think, to leave our listener with today and share. Like, David, to be honest, we could go on for hours with this value.
I've been listening to your podcast. I'm like, man, me and Johnny have so much to talk about.
We'll definitely have to do a second leg of this. We really value, you know, to go even more into this. And thank you so much, David, today. Just before we conclude today, where can people find you if they want to find out more about you or some of your work?
Yeah, great question. So anywhere on social media at David Waldie. I hate saying this because it sounds uber pretentious, but you can just Google me, just Google my name, and you can find all my social media stuff. But I do also love to give something away for free if you're okay with me.
Yeah,
the link, please. Johnny, is that I created a framework called the Fierce Empathy Framework. And there's two versions of it. One is what's called a self-coaching guide. So for anyone that's wanting to work on themselves, and maybe they're not in a position to to hire a coach or a mentor, but they're serious about wanting to change areas of their life. It's called the Fierce Empathy Framework. If you go to www.fierceempathyframework.com, there's two versions. If you are a coach, a trainer, a consultant, there's one that you can download for free as well that will help you in working with your clients. Or if you're just working on yourself, there's the self-coaching one, but it will help you start to answer some of these questions. And it's basically the step-by-step process that I take all my clients through, because it's exactly what I had to go through in working with my coaches and mentors, just simplified in a way that you can actually take action. But hit me up if anyone wants to on Instagram. That's the one place that you can DM me, and I absolutely will respond. If you DM me somewhere else, I probably won't see it.
Okay, we've got you, I'll be checking those resources. So thank you for that, David, and I appreciate you being on today.
Johnny, it was an honor, brother. Thank you for the work that you do. Continue to change the world, brother.
Oh, thank you so much. So that concludes our episode for today. And remember, you are in control of your own self-esteem and confidence.